I have this other theory that's wild, but there is a non-zero chance he was a Zodiac killer.
Oh, man.
Because he moved to San Francisco in 68.
Right.
A few months before they started.
Oh.
He was a 28-year-old, very angry, loner, hyper-religious white man.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Fits the bill.
And the killing stopped a few months before he met my mom.
Oh, wow.
And then they got married, and then they started moving.
Whoa.
Wow.
Never stayed in the same jurisdiction.
Wow.
Welcome to Standby with JJ and Francisco. We've got a killer guest who's only in town now.
I know. We're doing it again. Especially so early. We're doing an early edition of the podcast.
Yeah.
Early new edition.
We've nabbed him while he's here.
Thank you for coming.
Yes, thanks. We got Jeff Tate, who's our road warrior. He's out there. He's playing in Brooklyn on August 13th and 14th. Tours with Tom Segura. And overall, he's just put in a lot of years treading the boards.
Yeah.
Around the world. So how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, that's your camera over there. If you want to do the, Modern Family kind of like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or Office,
if you want to break the fourth wall, it goes right in there.
How are you? So, like, what are you in town for? Are you just here chilling or, like, doing shows?
I mean, I hadn't done anything in 2 years.
Okay.
Like, everything was done.
That's true.
I hadn't been here since the end of 2019.
Yeah.
And I just needed a change of scenery for a little while.
Okay. So are you living here or are you?
No, but I've been here for 3 months.
Oh, okay. So you're kind of living.
I sublet a room.
Nice.
And this is the longest I've been here since I lived here. I did live here.
So you did live here?
A couple of times.
Yeah. You've been back and forth a couple times.
Yeah. There was always something, some like event.
Right.
Affected.
Like personal or historical event?
Personal. So I was here in 2010, and then I split up from my wife. She could afford the apartment, and I couldn't.
So that's how you decide who leaves. Yeah.
And then I was here in 2014, and then my dad got sick, and my mom needed help taking care of. So I went back for that, and then then he died, and then the pandemic happened.
Oh wow.
Wow, it's like every little landmark.
It comes to LA. There's something. Is there something that attracts you from here? Like you want to.
It's. I mean, it's the weather.
The weather, yes.
It's amazing,
of course.
Yeah,
there's no tornadoes.
Originally from
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
That's where I grew up, essentially.
And that's where you're kind of basing yourself right now, while you figure out your next move out of the pandemic. So this was just a trip to LA to get the dust off.
Yeah. And I like it more now than I ever did before. It's the first time I've been here and haven't been broke. So that's fun.
That's good. Yeah. It's always nice when you're not broke anywhere, I think. But
But
especially in LA.
It makes it, there's so much more to do here.
That's true.
Yeah. It's kind of like Vegas too. Like the worst thing is being in Vegas. And like, what's the point of going to Vegas if you don't have money or don't want to spend money? Like, don't go. Because everything's, you literally have to pay for everything.
Yeah, you can't just blag your way into it. You can't just show up to every piece of entertainment and go, but I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
Can you just let me in?
It ain't gonna work.
I stand at the back of the room.
I've worked Vegas a couple of times, and one of the clubs was in a hotel where you couldn't even like order food. You couldn't like get pizza delivered to the hotel because they had a restaurant.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you had like to order from them or something? Oh,
wow. So you couldn't get food. If you wanted to order food that wasn't from the hotel, you had to go out to the sidewalk and like wait for them out there.
Oh, wow.
That's quite a crackdown.
Yeah. It's
a pyramid scheme.
That's one of those things.
If I'm gonna get all the way out to the fucking sidewalk, then I'm just gonna go somewhere. Like, I've already gone somewhere.
Yeah, the whole point of the hotel room is that you don't have to leave your room.
It took 10 minutes to get to the sidewalk. And then there's a restaurant right there. There's another thing right there. Like, why are you making it? You're just driving home the point that there are so many other places to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. If you let it come to my room, eventually I will just order the room service.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. You gotta get get you addicted to the room service.
Get me used to not having to leave.
Yeah.
But it was one of those old ones. I think it was the Riviera.
That's gone.
It was also the one where if you talk shit about it on stage, they would pull you aside after.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some guy in a gray suit would be like, you know, maybe don't be disrespectful to the venue.
Okay. Oh, God.
I mean, if you look around, the venue's a bit disrespectful to all of us.
Yeah. And also, who's decided that I'm not just being playful about it anyway? I'm not actually It was an indictment what I was doing.
I mean, there's no playful way to call a place a toilet.
Yeah.
But it's gone now.
Right.
So it was because of you that it's gone.
Yes.
He called it out.
I reminded 40 people 3 times that this place sucked. And they went out of business.
But one of those people was a commissioner of Vegas or something. That's in part, you know. So, you know what? Let's destroy this thing, you know.
Jeff Tate has a point. Let's shut it down.
Well, there's never... The thing about the strip is there's never an oldest building on the strip for long. Once you're the oldest building on the strip, you're next.
Yeah.
You'll get torn down, and then that spot will be the newest building.
That's true.
And so it just goes up and then goes back and then goes up and then they just keep replacing it. So whatever the oldest one is now, if you want to check it out, do it quick.
That's true. Yeah,
it won't be within a year or two before it's
gone.
Funny.
That's very much a Vegas thing because you just reminded me of like in Dubai they turn the buildings over a lot as well, but they don't put new ones in that spot. It just doesn't become trendy anymore.
Mm.
So because Dubai is just built on a desert, and they're just arrogant and cocky enough to just build in a new segment of the desert. So there's the old Hard Rock Cafe building, which must have been hugely expensive. I think they stopped using it after a few years, and it's just got sand dunes blowing against it in a little corner of Dubai.
Really? So it's not even working.
Yeah, you have whole strips of Dubai where they've left it, and they've just built something new, same brand.
So they don't leave it. They leave it just there to die.
No, it's like, it's rich people, man. Wow. I think it's just rich people. They just
because in Vegas, there's a Fremont Street. That's kind of like what it used to be, like
the
downtown. That was like the cool part. But they left it there, so then...
Yeah, those buildings are old.
Yeah.
And it's no longer the cool part then?
Now it's kind of like it's cool things that you can do around.
It comes and goes.
Yeah.
It's always been like, it's always been the cool part for, in the same way that the cool neighborhoods are cool, but they might not be trendy or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So like we know all the neighborhoods in LA and there's the neighborhoods that are actually cool and then the neighborhoods that are like rich cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are like, oh, you want to live in West Hollywood. West Hollywood's cool, but nobody can, who can live there?
Yeah, it's very expensive.
None of us can live
there. Yeah, yeah. If you want to live, like, good.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
If you want to have 2 rooms in your apartment or whatever.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Pool or, like, a little garden, you know, that's crazy.
A parking space?
Yeah. Parking.
You're going to have...
what a luxury. Parking is such a luxury.
I mean, we know, like, how many, like... Everybody lives in the valley. Everybody talks about how the valley sucks, but everybody lives in the valley.
Yeah.
And the valley doesn't suck.
And it doesn't suck. I live in the valley. It's great.
It's
it's very close.
Fine, right?
It's not that far either, you know? Like, people think it's crazy far. Yeah, no, it's pretty easy.
I mean, how long would it take to get to... Because you just go down and go over the hill.
I'm in the valley by Studio City. It took me 15 minutes to get from here.
Nothing. Yeah, that's not too bad.
You know?
It took... I've been in Culver City for these 3 months. It took longer than that to get to here.
Yeah. That's where I first lived when I moved to LA.
I like it there. I lived in Woodland Hills the first time.
Oh, wow, that's far. A little farther.
Yeah, it's further up the 101 than I thought.
Yeah.
And then I lived in Glendale the second time.
Okay.
So it's a little closer. The other side of the valley, basically.
But Culver City is more closer than everything.
Culver City is the best one I've been in so far because it's got that beach air a little bit.
Yeah. And also it's like it's bad. Since I'm... been here now, it's like there's so many new things, so many new restaurants and like that downtown Culver City that wasn't what it was.
Culver City's gotten nicer
in
the last few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still on this side of the hill. So yeah, I still tell myself, because I just tell myself, you can my place in East Hollywood, basically. But I still like it right now because it tells me that I get home quicker at night. And I can get out to the gigs quicker without sitting in that traffic. But, you know, everybody does say it's not too bad, 15 minutes of traffic.
No. I mean, I think everything's traffic in L.A., so it doesn't matter where you live. So it's like you're always going to have some traffic no matter what. If there was no traffic, it's pretty fast anywhere you go. Like, with no traffic, I can go to Santa Monica from my house 20 minutes. Yeah. No traffic. Yeah. So it's kind of like...
Between Christmas and New Year's, everything is 20 minutes.
Yeah.
very simple. It's everything very else, it could be...
An hour to...
It could be three. Yeah. Like, it could be a fucking nightmare. Sometimes, but that's the thing about they take it for granted because you go live anywhere else and like they talk about the valley like it's the fucking Midwest. Go to the Midwest. There's in the valley, there's restaurants in every corner, there's 7-Elevens. You could still have a very convenient life. And the grocery stores, it might be a little easier to park around.
Yes, exactly.
Get your neighborhood. It's your neighborhood.
It's a little hot.
That's really the only thing. Yeah. The only thing is a little hot. It's actually 20 degrees hotter from Santa Monica and Venice to like where? Like it's like a 20 degrees difference. So it is. But that's the only thing.
That's driving around the whole country, you realize that everything, that's the best part about LA is that it's, even when you're driving over the hill, you're sitting in traffic or whatever, everything at least looks interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
It's still cool. They don't flip the buildings like some neighborhoods they do, but most of these houses and most of these buildings and a lot of these signs, they've been up for 50 years.
Yeah.
There's so many buildings that and bars that I've been to in LA that blow me away because most of the bar is outside in Gordon. It's not even built up of four walls or anything. So the bar can actually be tiny, but the space that you're drinking and partying is huge.
So you're from Nova Scotia?
Yeah.
So the first time you came here and you saw a high school where the hallways were outside, probably blew your mind.
Of course, it's so much better than
all my hallways were inside.
All of them. Freezing, all this stuff.
Houses, bars, all that stuff. Like I always say, it looks like a holiday destination no matter where you go in LA, but that's why it's because so much of it. Yeah. What do we do with, we need two extra TVs. Put them outside. It'll be fine. People can still watch.
And also because the weather doesn't rain that much. So you can always know if it rains, it's just, it rained today out of 200 days.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. You can still put the TV out there.
And it's never going to rain for a whole day.
No.
It's going to rain for a little bit, and then it's going to be the nicest day in an hour.
That's ridiculous.
And then where I'm from, if it's going to rain today, that's it for the day. It's going to be this all day.
Rain day. That's it. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But there's no...
It's going to be flooded out.
And there's no extended period where it's like good to be outside. We get like a month in the spring and a month in the fall.
That's true.
The summer's brutal.
Yeah.
The winter.
Here you can always go like, you know what? I can go to the beach tomorrow. Like you don't have, in other places you gotta, it's today or we're fucked for the whole year.
You go to those like a New York beach or whatever. If it's like a good beach day in New York, you're like, well, I'm just not going because this is, everybody knows this.
Yeah.
This is going to be the most crowded place I've ever seen.
Is there a big like outdoor festival or anything back in Cincinnati, or is there a
like music festival?
Yeah, where you guys have to like just keep your fingers crossed that you get good weather for the weekend. And
not anymore. There was one for a few years, and then I think the Pando sort of they canceled it for those years, and I haven't heard about it coming back yet. But there
I like
was
it being called the Pando.
That's a cool trendy word for the pandemic, man. That's a cool way to do it.
The Pando.
It turned out I was saying it too much. I can't waste all my time saying the whole thing.
No, that tracks. And the Pando.
So did you start doing comedy in Cincinnati? You did? Oh, okay.
It's not a bad place to start. It's pretty close to a lot of clubs.
Oh, really?
Like a 5-hour drive from like maybe 30 clubs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then did you move? Was LA the first time that you moved because of comedy or
so I did live in Philadelphia for a little bit.
Okay.
After I started, but I didn't move there to do comedy. It has something to do with my wife's parents.
Got it. Nice. So you started, and then, so how long have you been doing comedy, or started doing comedy since?
It's almost 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Right on.
That's awesome.
And how long have you been working with Tom Segura?
On this tour started last September. And then I did a bunch of the ones in 19 also.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've seen the evolution then, because
before the panda
last year,
before the panda, yeah.
Did the whole crowd have to be masked?
No, we
last
didn't
year?
Do. No, it's kind of built around the places. There were some where people still wore masks, but it was just whatever the local mandate was. So like,
right.
We so did venue Madison in Madison, Wisconsin, and Milwaukee that were supposed to be masked. We keep it pretty locked down backstage. Like, there's nobody around us that isn't masked.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But then we're just around each other. The touring group, the tour manager and the photographer and security, and then me and Tom. It's just us. So as a group, we're like a little loose in our group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just a small group.
Yeah, that's your bubble.
The bubble. Yeah. That's what they always said during the whole thing. Yeah. You have your bubble and then that's.
And that's fine. Was, yeah.
Right. Because if one of us, and we, you know, we still test pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're trying to do it without getting it.
Of course.
Do you ever spot them from the stage too? If you're performing and you know it's an audience of, like, if they have the mask mandate. And so
nobody has one anymore. So it's been a long time.
Nobody gives a shit now, do they?
Yeah, it's done, you know. In terms of, like,
there's nothing scarier than hearing someone cough now.
Yeah.
That's a scary noise.
Yeah. Or sneeze.
Yeah, and you point it out and you can get a laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that happen to me in Britain. I was in a cinema. I was watching a film, but I always get a little bit of a dry throat about halfway through a movie. A little cough will come on if I don't have water.
Yeah, it's a very it's like a sterile room, and it's just air conditioning, and it will dry you out. Yeah.
I'm trying to stifle the cough, but I can tell everybody's like, oh gosh, they think that you're turning into a zombie or something in front of them. People are sliding over. I feel like going, it's not COVID.
Yeah,
I've been tested.
Yeah.
I smoke. It's from that.
It's perfectly fine.
I'm sick of a lot of other stuff, but not COVID.
Yeah, yeah, but nobody's gonna not be paranoid. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's,
I mean,
it's
I started happening. I started drinking and smoking again during the pandemic.
Right. Just so that
I could have a reason why I felt like shit. Like. When I wasn't doing that, and I would wake up and be like, "Oh, I'm run down," then I'd be paranoid, like, "Oh fuck, I got it somehow."
Yeah.
And then now, when I wake up and I'm like, "Oh no, I'm just hungover."
Yeah.
Like Sunday,
yeah.
I was like, "Well, I know why I feel like this.
Yeah.
I know this is not that.
Yeah.
I know I did this to myself. I have a problem with authority too. Once somebody said, you know, don't. It's a lung condition, and that's how it attacks you. So don't be smoking pot or anything like that. And I always go. Fuck you.
I mean, it turns out that there's something that pot does that makes it better for you.
Yeah, supposedly, yeah.
I remember that theory for a while, because we were going through all our pothead friends, and they hadn't caught it yet. And everybody who isn't, you know, dropping an edible here and there is getting sick.
Yeah. So there's something.
The theory for a while. I think it started to fall apart a couple months ago when potheads finally started catching it.
Yeah.
Well, it got easier to catch.
Yeah, now it's
right.
Like...
Yeah.
So, like, the versions that are going around now are very easy to catch, but they seem... I mean, nobody knows anything.
Yeah.
The
true.
Second time I got it, it was nothing.
Nothing,
like, I thought I had... I had the same symptoms I have if I sleep with a window open,
right?
Which is like my throat's sore a little bit, but very dry.
Yeah,
I'm a little sniffly, and then I had a glass of water, blew my nose, and it was fine.
And you're fine. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like kind of dragging.
Yeah.
Took a nap, woke up, went back to bed. The next day,
fine.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then like you just gotta pass that test because I couldn't pass the test. I got rid of my symptoms in Britain at one point and couldn't pass that friggin' test.
Oh, like that's the thing. You're still like positive, but you're not sick. Yeah.
Got it somewhere, but you're I'm not sick. Nobody in society would know if I went out and got on with my day.
Well, imagine all the viruses that you carry as a human being that you have that nobody knows. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
that's why this one's different, is because this is what nobody has.
Yes, yeah.
That's why it's dangerous, and that's why there should have been, like, it's so frustrating, because, like, if there is a reason to have government at all,
it's for this.
For this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it failed us
completely.
Spectacularly.
Yeah.
Like, to a degree that you could never imagine a failure of this degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And...
And also
then it
the fact
in front of our faces, and it's gonna and it wrecked 2 fucking years of our life.
And the fact that there was also a blueprint that you could have seen from like what happened 100 years ago because of that span. Like literally the same thing. It's like, okay, let's study what they did and what they did wrong and not do it again. And literally it's like the people were like, no, let's do the same shit that they did back 100 years right. ago.
It,
like,
okay. It turned out the doctors were trying to do the same stuff and the shitheads were doing the same.
Yes.
Like, when they would teach us about the 1918 thing, they never told us about the people who were like, I ain't wearing a fucking mask.
Yeah, right.
And it turned out there was a lot of them.
Yes, exactly.
And there were cities that were like, no, we're not fucking closing anything down. Yeah. And then 100,000 people died.
Yeah.
Same fucking problem.
And it's crazy to me about the mask stuff, too. It's like, I was going like, so you mean tell me, like, the doctors, like, if masks don't work, then doctors have been lying to us all this time and they've just been wearing masks.
They're lying to themselves.
Yeah, so it's like, oh no, they're like, hey, so doctors were like, hey, look, nobody's paying, like, it's not taking us seriously, so we have to wear something to make us look like we're fucking, it's like bullshit. It's like, of course the masks work,
well,
man.
But,
and the fact that people mask, then, like, after 2 years, people wear a mask or whatever, nobody was getting sick with cold and other stuff. It's like, they didn't realize that shit. It's like, oh, because you're fucking wearing a mask, man.
And I swear, at first, too, when the pandemic first hit, I remember seeing a lot of the mask facts. And I remember them being like kind of normal, like there was just a respectable, like the mask isn't a cure all, but it does help you 10 to 15%.
Mm-hmm.
That can go a long way.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing all that, and then I swear, like 2 days later, it was one side was saying no, they're 100%, and then the other side is like, oh, they don't work at all. And I felt like a lot of us were going,
no room for
how did this get accelerated so much? Like,
there's no room for any reasonable, like nobody cares if they say this will protect you 95%. Then people are like, well, that's not 100, so I'm not going to do anything.
Exactly.
It's like, but if you did it and I did it and we were together,
yes,
and we both have 95%, that's like exponential protection from me to you and you to me.
Exactly.
But they like,
they're just still going, it's not 100 though, so fuck it.
they just like, there's been a big failure in the last like 50 years in American society and politics of like individualism.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to believe or behave as if they're part of a community.
Exactly.
They've been told this forever that they don't have to. And that they're not.
I completely agree. And I always call it like the spoiled rich kid syndrome because I feel like, for example, like, because I grew up, I was born in Venezuela, so, and I moved here when I was 12, but I still, you know, grew up there. So, just like in third world countries and stuff like that, when stuff, you know, like, or even like in Europe, because they actually have wars that happen in their country and they had to like live with stuff. So, it's like when you grow up in a society like that, that stuff has happened, like, people grow up like, okay, there's stuff that sometimes we have to do that, individually don't want to do it, but we have to do it for the better of the thing, and you can just like, fine, we'll do it. In third world countries, like, well, I have to do it because the government is not going to help us, so I have to fucking do that in order, you know, shit like that. But here, where, like you said, everything has is kind of like when you're, it's like, I mean, like a rich kid that's been give everything, so then you tell him like, all right, you know, now he's like 25 years old, and be like, you know what, now you can do this. He's like, what are you talking about? All my life, I've been told that I can do whatever I want. Like, no, I'm not gonna. I'm good. I don't care. And then that's what happened. Then it's like, and then multiply that by 100.
And then it's like, and then it's like also the why do I have to do
and
that?
And then why do I
and
have
then
to
you,
do?
And then you just say because it will help.
Yes.
Oh, it'll help, but it won't fix.
Yeah.
So then I don't want to do it unless it's a perfect fix.
Exactly.
For everything.
And I don't just want to do it on my meal. Like he's saying, it's all individual.
Yeah.
It's like, if, well, I don't care that I have to, it's going to save people. It's annoying that I have to wear this mask or that I have to like not go out for like a month because so the hospitals don't get inundated or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
So. They say like the thing they never should have said, wearing a mask protects other people. That was when people were like, well, then I'm not going to do it.
That's true.
It doesn't protect me. I'm not going to do it.
Exactly.
And if they should have just lied and said, if you wear a mask, it will protect you.
100%.
But everyone's got to wear it and it will protect you.
Yeah.
But then, like, I knew people, or I would see people that, you know, I got a job at an amusement park in the fall of 2020. I was so bored. I found this thing I could do on Saturdays and Sundays outside.
Yeah.
And I would just stay outside.
Yeah.
So I felt pretty safe. Everybody had to wear a mask. Everybody in the park was supposed to wear a mask. Mm-hmm. And then people would constantly argue it. They would yell at me about the rule. And I'm
angry, and they don't know who they'll even take it out on allies.
Yeah, but I don't even care. Like, go ahead and yell at me, because I knew that wasn't like a job I couldn't get fired from.
Of course, right?
And I also knew that whatever complaint, if they were going to complain about me, it was never going to be about me. It was still just going to be about the mask thing later.
Yeah.
So I could say whatever I wanted. Yeah. And that was fun.
That was
your
perfect.
Staff member is pushing the rules.
Yeah.
What are they like? Because, I mean, that happened a couple of times. Like, a manager or like a supervisor, it's like my boss was like 18. And he would come by and be like, "What's going on?" And then I would just be like, "Tell him." And they would be like, "That's the thing about the mask or whatever." I'm like, "See? Whatever I said that escalated it, that never got brought up. They were still just mad about the mask.
Right.
There would be people, like kids would be like, they'd have their mask, they would not have their mask on. I'd be like, "Can I put," I'd be like, "Yeah, you gotta put your mask on. Don't." Because if they would come near me without their mask, I'd just be like, "You gotta put your mask on.
Yeah.
Don't fucking stand near me without your mask. It's the rule."
Yeah.
And I also am here, like, I don't want to get, I'm just bored. Like, I don't give a fuck about your day or any of this shit. I'll just leave.
Yeah.
And one kid put it on his eyes, and I was like, "Just put it on right." And he goes, "But your eyes, it still gets through your eyes." And I go, "I don't give a fuck, kid." Like, you know how to wear it. You know that's not how you wear it. You're just being a prick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think you're funny, and you're not. Like, you have no idea that I'm the fucking wrong person. I actually know what what is, and this isn't.
Yeah, yeah.
You just look like a dickhead.
Yeah.
Like, I hope you
get in through your eyes.
Not as much, maybe.
Yeah,
but wear some fucking sunglasses, bro.
Of course. The worst one was when people go, like, "I can't breathe." You know, like, it takes out. Of course it is. I mean, like, so you're telling, like, again, going back to the doctors, in fucking emergency situations, ER, they have to be 24 hours in ER. They're wearing masks all the time. While operating, you think they don't have an oxygen? What the fuck are you talking about?
Like, yeah, you're waiting in line for a roller coaster.
This guy
put a pacemaker in my mom, and he had three masks. He had my mom's chest open and was hooking something up to her heart. Mm-hmm. And you think I'm going to buy any of your bullshit? Fuck off.
Yeah.
I don't.
That's another thing, too.
I'm not ruining your day.
Yeah.
You're ruining your own day.
Yeah.
You're the one that came here knowing the rule.
Yeah. That's another thing,
which is a thing I can argue because of what happened at the Dead Show. We didn't know those rules.
I can't wait to talk about this.
Okay.
Maybe let's do this, because you talked about your Sunday hangover. So he and I, we went to the Grateful Dead, or Dead End Company.
Dead End Company.
It was my first ever experience.
What is it?
It was at Dodger Stadium.
It's whoever's left from the Grateful Dead minus
With John Mayer and all that stuff?
Yeah, John Mayer plays guitar. Artemis, I think his name's Artemis. He's a bass player. He used to play for the Allman Brothers. The drummers are the same. Bob Weir's still in the band. Bob Weir's basically the front man. John Mayer sings some songs. The bass player sings some songs. There's a lot of people on stage.
Nice.
Yeah.
They appear to be a pretty efficient band, as in they don't waste any time. What's the word? Rehearsing? It doesn't seem like they get together ahead of time.
Well, I mean, it's my...
Like, they just meet up that day.
It was my first time watching them, and I did occasionally say, it's like a rehearsal.
Because
they're just jamming away. All right. I learned definitely why they're great music for just being high. Being in a rush to go anywhere, because the songs are taking 20 minutes.
You should be spaced out, because they are. You might as well be too.
True.
But something angered, I would say, 90% of the people in attendance at the
There was, Dave talked to people that were in line up top, and there was like almost a full riot. Like, people were trying, like, people almost breached security up top.
What happened?
So they were about 2 hours late letting us all in. So
they did not open our gate until 7, and the show started at 7.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So we are in line at 6:20.
Which even, there's people that could get there at 5 if you want to. And like,
it said the doors open at 5:30, but what door opened at 5:30? And we couldn't, we were passing lines that they were telling us we couldn't get in because of where our tickets were. So maybe there were lines that you could get in at 5:30. But the one that we were allowed to get into because of where our tickets were, they didn't open that gate until 7.
Wow.
And the show, the music started at 10 after 7.
Wow.
So we missed almost the whole first set. We were in line for 90 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. Everybody was. Everybody was getting very sarcastic. There was sections around the stadium that we could hear just getting sarcastic because they weren't getting in the venue.
Yeah.
But on top of that, we had a they didn't tell us that they were going to confiscate things at Dodger Stadium. Now, I looked it up, and it does say no vape pens at the Dodger Stadium thing. Okay. But they took everybody's cigarettes and lighters.
Oh, really?
Right. I was bummed out that they found the weed, but I wasn't mad about that because that's the risk. Like, I know that if this weed gets
might
caught,
make it or not. It's like when you leave out of the house, you're like, you might make it or you might
but
not.
But I'd never, I mean, I've been to the forum twice in these 3 months for two different shows, and I went to Staples for a show.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to empty your pockets there.
No.
And so and every other show I went to the Greek.
Yeah. Hollywood Bowl.
I've been to the Hollywood Bowl. Every show I've been to in the last 2 years, every show I've ever been to, I've never had to empty my pockets. You take out what'll set off the alarm.
Yeah.
Because they're just making
you should just be making sure
you don't have a gun or a knife.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But these motherfuckers made us empty our pockets. I saw.
And it's for a Grateful Dead concert. You're supposed to be high.
Yeah. Yeah. And who's like, who's not going to have, like, if you smoke or anything like that, who's not going to have cigarettes even for after the concert?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, right. Yeah.
Everybody's come to see a Grateful Dead gig at an outdoor, well, technically an outdoor venue being Dodger Stadium.
I mean, it's an outdoor venue.
And ruining.
Yeah. It's not inside the Staples Center.
Yeah. It was like they were doing like a precog thing. Like to confiscate this off of people is like saying you guys will break the rules when you're in there, which it still blows my mind. Everybody's spending like $15 on packs of cigarettes and the security is just taking them off of everybody.
And I got through, and then there was a third guy behind the thing that was like, now what's in those pockets? What's in those pockets?
Oh, like, fuck.
So I had made it past the first guy.
Oh, so there were three more. So like,
there was another guy behind.
Another pocket
guy. It was
guy.
Like, these pockets are full. And I pulled out some of the stuff. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, it's just this. And he goes, nah, there's more. There's like,
wow.
And I didn't know, like, he was behind me. So he had enough time to stash to like move to the back pocket.
So I had a hoodie with me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I stashed stuff in the hoodie. Put it in my hand, just to make it look like it was just cloth or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put my metal shit in the tray,
yeah.
And then he and Dave Waite in front of me, they were getting in shit. So I just got mine through, and it even beeped for me, and I just grabbed it and just walked. Yeah. I put about 20 yards like in the distance while they were still getting the shakedown, just so that I could get my shit in. And in the end, two of us got our stuff in, and two of us did not.
Mm.
And the lady in front of me, they took her. Like the guy at the thing took her jacket and smashed up her whole jacket. So I moved everything out of my jacket into my pants pocket because it wasn't going to set off the alarm.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I figured if they were going to smash, but they didn't touch my jacket at all. If I had left it in my jacket, I might have been okay.
Then, so.
But the guy, like the thing, that it was the cigarettes. Where the guy's like, you can't take those in. And I go,
that's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah, you can take cigarettes in the plane.
You could take them on
anything.
Right? That's what we were saying too. Imagine if
there's so many places you can't smoke.
Of course.
That still let you. Chili's don't take your cigarettes away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
It's just in my pocket. There's all like.
Yeah, that's weird.
I have a notebook in my pocket. I'm not going to write anything during the show.
Exactly.
None of this stuff is for right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, granted, I definitely would have smoked some of those cigarettes.
Of course, yeah.
But if they're like, don't smoke these.
But then you can just, sorry, I forgot. And then you just hand it.
Yeah, exactly.
But don't take away your whole pack.
Or just drop it and be like, it wasn't me. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Beat it.
Yeah.
But the guy, I go, you can't take the cigarettes. Like, they're legal. They're legal. You can't take things that we're allowed to have. And the guy goes, this is private property. And that pissed me off because there's no way. The Dodger Stadium has no public funds.
Of course, yeah.
There's no fucking stadium in the country with no public funds. And you can't take public funds and then be private property.
That
should not be allowed.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. I've never had to surrender
Right. Yeah. So I smoked, just so you know, bro, I smoked 4 cigarettes in Dodger Stadium. They just weren't, you got the ones that I brought. But you're still a failure.
That is true. It became quite a thing of rebellion because then everybody's was passing a cigarette like it was a joint.
So it became a prison currency, yeah. Right? It's like
whoever could get one in, it was like gold. Yeah. People were like,
it was like the Shawshank Redemption.
Man, if I was just last in line in our group, I would have got in so much more stuff. Have a couple of joints to be like, oh, you got me. And then the rest are in the back, right? You got to sacrifice something sometime.
Yeah.
But it's crazy, even for that type of concert. It's not like you're going to go see, I don't know.
It ain't fucking Joel Osteen, man.
Yeah, something like that.
This is the Grateful fucking Dead.
Yeah. And like you said, that you're supposed to be high because the songs are so long to even enjoy them or exactly. To even smoke something. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But they, like, Dodger Stadium should fire their security because they lost $250,000 on concessions.
That's true because nobody...
By keeping, you That's know, 10,000 people weren't in their seats until halfway through the first set because of your security, because of the... And it had that feel of they've never done a show here before, except that there was a show there the night before.
Yeah.
How the fuck...
Yeah, fix
the thing. I'm never going to Dodger Stadium again.
Yeah.
It felt like a conspiracy theory, like if it was just our section... Like these guys were just confiscating the cigarettes, even though you're
not supposed
to.
I mean, maybe it was a whole plot
to
steal the stuff and sell it.
Have a whole bag of packs of cigarettes.
I mean, because you know they did. You know they're not throwing that in the trash. They're taking that with them.
Yeah, no, separate trash bags, right?
Of course.
No,
they're taking that.
But lighters and
taking all those cigarettes, all the weed,
all in this one bag.
Yeah, of course.
I hope half those joints have fentanyl in them. I don't know how that would work, but
hopefully, I hope they choke
fuck
on
those
it,
guys. Man.
They fucking choke on it. So, but
it wasn't a terrible show. Once we got in, it wasn't until the second set started.
Yeah,
that I was finally like that it at all, which was only
also,
like a half.
Also, you had to have a little bit of a laugh too because you were angry. We're there for 20 minutes, and we could just. You just can't.
Well, you can't just like
up.
Turn it off right
exactly.
Now. You'll be
so
like pissed. Yeah.
They took the thing away that would have helped.
Yeah.
I had to get rid of both things that would have calmed me down right away.
So then we just had to like kind of poke fun at him every now and then. Because he's still occasionally, you're just standing up and go,
yeah, I would the same thing.
While everybody else is like jamming to the
same
band.
I mean, I was working it out because it's, I mean, and you've known Dave longer than me, and Dave's known me the longest of. Anybody in LA. And so he knows that, like, for me to have gotten this out in 30 minutes is pretty good.
Because
I'm not, like, I would have still been mad about it today.
Yeah.
If this was 10 years ago. Like, I would have been, like, trying to dox these motherfuckers or whatever. Like,
well, it's 100% fucking annoying. Because there's no,
I don't know how
there's
to
nowhere
it.
To go to. You can't be like,
yeah,
even
no, that,
in the
it's
face
fucked
of it,
up.
You can't be like, get me your manager or whatever, because this is surreal.
Yeah, no,
this
you gotta.
And right.
Now you've been waiting for so long to get in. Like, fuck. It's like, okay, fine. Just
now we
your...
know why, and it's a little annoying that all the people we saw walking back.
Yeah.
That none of them were like, hey, they're taking cigarettes. Yeah. Let's stash your shit. They're throwing everything away. They're making us take our vapes back to the car. Like,
that's what
like
I'm saying.
Just
really
as
annoyed me
about them. Like, security. Oh, it sucks. Security sucks. But security is. That's the game, is how do you beat security?
Yeah.
And all these people who were, there was 50 people that could have told us.
Of course. And that's the thing that, I think that's a great thing to bring up, because isn't that like an unspoken rule that like when you're something anywhere, it could be a concert, a baseball, even the airport, whatever, like there's always that person that like, hey, that person that was in the first that, you know, got shit taken away. They'd be like, hey, by the way, they're taking stuff out just so you know. Because you always get that and you're like, oh, thank you. You know what I mean?
Nobody. There Nobody was no said that teamwork. Shit. It really frustrated us because now when we got through, and of course I couldn't shout it because I wanted to shout it, but I was too busy getting through, getting a good 20 yards on these guys while they were being patted down. But yeah, I can't believe nobody was like, they're taking cigarettes. Would have weirded everybody out because thousands of dollars worth of cigarettes must have just got
in there.
I've never heard of it. So yeah, no teamwork. Disappointed in you, Dead
fans. Very, very, very bad.
Everyone's shell-shocked, though. I mean, the 50 people that walked past us could have just been tripping balls and been like, well, I can't. I already had a terrible interaction with somebody. I have not talked to anybody
that
else again.
They're probably sweating. They're like, am I going to? Is the FBI? The FBI got me. It's like, wow. well, you know, they're not gonna fucking go like, hey, by the way, they're taking away cigarettes.
Yeah.
After the show, when we went to that bar, and I walked down to that gas station to get cigarettes. Like, there's people in this gas station. The line for the cigarettes at the gas station, like, it was the longest gas station line I've been in. I was probably 12th in line. Like, just everybody was buying cigarettes.
Wow. Yeah.
And the guy behind the counter, like, by the time I got up there, he was like, cigarettes? And I was like, yeah. He's like, everybody buying cigarettes. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, man, everybody buying.
Because we had them fucking stolen.
I heard the people in line, they were talking, and they were all, like, different groups were like, oh, there's a bar right here, let's go to this bar. And the bar they were talking about, I read somewhere, was a cop bar.
Oh.
And so I told everybody that's a cop bar. I'm like, make your choice, but that's a cop bar.
So you actually did tell the thing.
Right. You don't want a bunch of fucking...
Of course, yeah.
Deadheads right after a dead show ending up at a bar filled with cops? That's a real buzz.
So I want to go back to like... because I think it's like the first guest that we had that is touring differently than what other... like how we tour, which is basically by ourselves.
Right.
You know, like, because I feel like you're not like, you know, you're touring with somebody else and you're going, because, and ways that you do it, like, because I think, have you done like bus tours and stuff like that?
Yeah, we got a bus on the, yeah, so that's, got a bus.
Oh, really? So
that's pretty cool, because I never any of those tours.
I've never done a bus one.
A bus tour.
I think I would like because...
So how do you like...
We love it. We're a pretty chilled out group. Like, if we leave after the show to drive to the next city, we'll, like, maybe spend a little time in the front. But within 20 minutes, Tom will go to his bunk, I'll go to mine. Like, half of us will go to sleep.
Okay.
Right. And right after the show.
Yeah, the tour manager will probably be up still doing some business. There's some, you know, he's always got his laptop out.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be some other people. You know, the people on the tour, like some, like, but generally we're just go to, or if we leave in the morning, I just get to the bus, put my stuff on, I'll fucking smoke cigarettes until we leave. And then as soon as we leave, I just go to my bunk and I go to sleep. And it's great. I like that little bunk. It's got the two vents on each side, one by my head and one by my feet.
Yeah.
All right.
Blows straight out. It's like a little coffin.
Uh-huh.
It's so cozy and comfortable.
So they are comfortable, those things.
Comfortable little coffin.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was wondering how uncomfortable.
Coffin. I fit the whole way. Like, it's pretty close. Like, you're a little bit taller, so you might touch.
Yeah. But what's your favorite bit of this? Is it not having to check bags and stuff? Is it just
not having to
have interaction with security guards or anything like that? Just knowing I just get on the bus.
I mean, that's the best
destination.
And then sometimes we'll fly on private chartered planes,
mm-hmm.
and that's amazing.
Yeah, that's even
an SUV will just drive us onto the tarmac.
Yeah,
people from the plane will take our luggage and be like. You just make sure you have the thing you want in the cabin with you. Everything else goes under.
Wow.
And then you just leave.
Yeah.
No. They might check IDs. Like if they've never, because he uses the same group a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So they might, if it's your first time on that plane or with that group, they might check your ID. Mm-hmm. But usually it'd just be like, oh, I'm Jeff. Hey, what's up? And they're like, oh, yeah. I remember. Hey, nice to see you. And then they just check your name.
Oh,
you got to tell them who's coming.
Yeah.
But after that, they just, once they know you, they just know you.
Yeah.
Like, when you're using the bus as well, how long are you guys on the bus for?
Yeah.
How long? Considered like that?
I mean, the trips, the routing is pretty good. So the drives are never crazy.
Okay.
Right.
And you have stops in between or like?
He'll stop. It depends on if he needs gas or whatever, but if it's like a 5-hour drive, he'll stop. But usually,
because there's bathrooms in the
bathroom on the bus.
There's drinks, so you don't need to. If you want. Yeah,
fridge, a little kitchen. I mean, there's no stovetop, but there's a microwave and I mean, it's got everything.
Yeah.
We stock it up. And there's a freezer. Like, it's great.
I feel like that's the way to do America.
That's true.
I mean, it's what I always say about electric cars and stuff. I can't wait for them to be at the level where you can just get in, have your electric car programmed.
Yeah.
Get in, maybe after a show or whatever, somewhere in Ohio, say, and your next night's in Boston, and just put it in the electric car and go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then wake up in Boston. Yeah. Like, that would be that's a next step from having a bus, a tour driver and stuff. But I'd say that's the way to do it, because that's the most annoying thing to me, is that you get tired of checking your bags all the time.
Well, the whole going to the airport is a whole thing, you know what I mean? Like, it's you're wasting an hour of whatever it is that you could be driving or doing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Going to the airport.
I got to go to the airport on Thursday, and I'm already kind of thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I got to go tomorrow, and I'm like...
Oh, especially in this town, man. LAX is the most difficult, annoying airport to get to,
It sucks.
To get to, and to, like, get to your terminal?
Yeah.
Yes. Because it's a horseshoe, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a real nightmare. But inside, the big airports are always... faster, like the LAX line is always faster.
That's true. Like the little ones,
staffed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I've had much, like trying to fly out of San Diego. There's one security.
And the smaller airports are the ones who take it more seriously. Like the TSA people, they're like, they're like, it's like they think it's like FBI shit.
They're
like,
real jobs.
Come on, like, just hurry it. No, you gotta take it off. And no, they take so long. It's like, LAX is kind of like, all right, move it quickly. You know, the bigger
they
airport.
Do, they have that. They have that. We gotta keep the line moving.
Of course.
As part of their responsibility.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just wish there was a way. It's LA must be the biggest city in LAX that you, when you land, you can't just jump on a train and get the hell out of the airport.
Well,
I've never seen a city.
Yeah, no,
that's true. And that, they're building.
So you're always standing. Yeah, by the Olympics. So everything's going to improve by the Olympics, everybody. So come to LA then.
Yeah, when is that?
And there'll finally be a train.
Or 28.
Is it 20? Yeah.
24. But I know that. But also, but the next World Cup is going to be here. The soccer World Cup, you know, so it's gonna be probably
so it'll
for
be for that as well. Yeah,
because they need it.
Why would they even want to have it here? Why would you want to have the Olympics in LA? Like, it's already a nightmare. Like, when
it's already
Boston
a tourism nightmare.
Yeah, when Boston was trying to get it, but it's not only is it already a tourism nightmare, it's already a tourism destination.
Yeah.
The town is already full.
Yeah,
it's full of people who live here and people who want to come here.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Why are you undertaking massive thing to get people to come here when people already come?
Yeah, because usually it's for people that it's for cities that don't have that much.
They should
tourists,
do it in.
Right? Could be, you know.
I mean, if they did the Olympics in, I mean, Texas politics suck. That governor's a fucking real piece of shit. But if they did it in Texas, then you could utilize the fact that Houston, Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio are all
big cities,
reasonably near each other, to have events at all the places.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Texas has never hosted one.
They don't want to do. They just flat out probably don't have the money.
That's true.
To undertake
the whole thing, right? Because
there's no state tax.
Because usually it's one city. You know, when they do the Olympics, it's one city.
Well, they usually host a lot of events in satellite places.
Yeah, but you know, like the ones in London, like the London Olympics, they weren't all in London.
No, right. They still had football. Football was still played in Birmingham.
Okay.
Like, what was the furthest away? What was the furthest away place where something happened there? 2 hours, 3 hours?
I think Glasgow. I think even in Scotland, they would have had a couple football, soccer matches.
So they went to a completely different country.
At one point. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For a couple of the matches, I would say so.
Yeah. Right. And so like, you could do.
Texas. Yeah.
You could do it in Oklahoma City and then use the stuff in Tulsa, Wichita, whatever.
Use satellite, cities and stuff. Like Calgary Olympics, I remember, were in Canmore and stuff. And like, at London too, all the rowing, regatta or whatever, all that stuff, some of it was on the Thames, which is in London, but some of it was out at Eton, which is that university that all the posh people went to, like Boris Johnson and all them. They all go to Eton. Mm. And that's what had all the. The war canoes and shit like that.
The what?
Crew? Crew?
Anything that was rowing. A war canoe?
Like, what's a war canoe?
It's like 10 or more people, I think.
But it's it's a regular canoe, but they have a different word for it.
Okay. Right. But why do you say war? Like, for a war?
I think that's the amount of people. Yeah, a war canoe, I think, is like, I don't know. I can't, you know what? Somebody needs to look this up. I can't know how to define it, but it's like there's a 10 man and a 4.
No, I know, but what is it?
But you call it, is like are war? You saying, like, do they, is this like a an English phrase?
Yeah, that or means a Canadian an amount of thing? People? Yeah.
I don't think so. I think that's the size of the boat, I think, is called the war canoe, but I don't know. But I'm talking out of turn
it's
here.
Just probably, it's probably like
10 man.
It comes from a time. I got to imagine. I'm going to guess what this is, and then we're never going to look it up, and this is what it's going
to
be.
Yeah,
which is what used to be before.
I imagine.
Oh, hey, fun.
Are you trying to show us?
I imagine there was a period of time whenever this phrase came from where if you saw a canoe or a little, you know, a kayak, whatever, and there was one person in it, you were like, oh, it's the mailman or whatever.
The fish.
Yeah. But if there was 10 or more people in that canoe, you're like, oh, they're coming to fight.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Why would there be 10 people in a canoe? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a whole tribe is 10 people.
Yeah.
Like,
it's wartime.
So village. They're coming for our village.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let's see if Tony, our
let's assume that's
he's
right.
He's going to come in and tell us what a war canoe is. Right. Okay.
Also for flat water racing.
But why is it called a war?
It evolved into flat water racing from
because now we don't fight like that.
Now when you put 10 people in a canoe, it's to race
another race.
Right. Yeah. It's you versus
it's
Rutgers.
A sport.
They're 10 and you're 10, right? We all go to Penn and they go to Drexel and we're gonna get on the Schuylkill and.
It's like the bow and arrow. Like nobody goes like before it was like a war thing. Now it's like, well, now I'm in the Olympics competing against another person.
I'm like, you did that so delicately.
Well,
too,
Well, I mean, he's obviously done it before. That is how you do it.
Well, this is my only because they used I only to be use called, a small arrow.
They used to be called battle sticks. and now it's a bow and arrow.
A little bow and arrow. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad we've all learned about the war canoe.
War canoe. Well, yeah, that's your.
I mean, you're the one that brought it with no idea.
Even no idea. It's a war canoe.
Well, it turns out I was correct. We call it a war canoe. So.
But think about this: like when they do have the Olympics here, we'll just remember, and then. So I'm sure that some of it's going to be in Orange County, some of it's going to be way the fuck north, some of it's going to be out. Exactly. Like they're probably going to use. There's probably an arena in Ontario or whatever.
Yeah,
where that they'll use, and then you'll realize, like, oh yes, this is. It feels different because it's all part of the LA empire or whatever. So it feels different, but I bet it'd be easier to get from Austin to Dallas than it would Olympics than to get from here to fucking SoFi or Orange County or get down to the.
Yeah, I'd say so too. The infrastructure is probably like ready to go.
Yeah, but they're like, oh, but that's only 30 miles away. It's like, but it still takes 2.5 hours. That's how long it takes to get to Dallas.
Yeah, that's true.
So it. It's all what it looks like.
Yeah.
So they can point to the map and be like, we're just going to use this. And it's like, well, you could do the state of, you could just put it in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Right.
And it would take the same amount of travel time.
Of course.
To handle all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And instead, it's coming to LA.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be a month where, like, everyone that lives here should leave.
Yeah.
And then make your rent by turning your apartment into an Airbnb.
Into Airbnb, a parking lot.
I'm sure that's going to happen a lot as well. Some people are going to see it as a good
of course,
making
business.
I mean,
well,
you should keep your apartment because you could do your month. You could do your whole month for one night.
His whole year.
True.
You could do 30 nights where every night you charge what your monthly rent is.
And you know what? And you just move to a war canoe.
Yeah, exactly.
In Echo Park.
Yeah,
just stay there in a war
Get
canoe.
Get 8 other people from your building and go rent one of these canoes.
Yeah, treat it like a houseboat. The houseboat Olympics. Yeah.
With all this traveling, have you also traveled internationally?
Not really. No, I have not had the good fortune. I've done 2 shows in Canada, and that's it.
Okay.
Good experience, then.
Yeah. Toronto and Montreal.
Okay, nice. Big cities.
Just things I set up myself. Montreal was super cool to be in, because it's the most foreign country place I've been.
Yeah, it's the most European.
And it's very European.
It's very European, yeah.
Just seeing signs that weren't in English was a real fun, oh, this is exciting. It feels fun,
right?
It's great.
But I want to. I just don't. I've never had a.
The
I don't really know how.
Yeah, Until
gotta,
his guy again.
You just got to start, meeting some promote. You got to meet some international promoters.
I would say.
And in some spots.
Because I think a lot of people I think now it's easier now to as a comic to do shows internationally, because now it's now there's some easier to connect with people. Like there's more people that you know that lived. You know, like we had last podcast, John Hastings was doing the Edinburgh Festival. You know, and he seems to know them a lot.
Exactly. Especially in this day and age, a lot of people are scouting online. So that's the great thing about being able to send somebody videos and stuff, because we're no longer trying to get booked, and then people say, "Well, come and do it for free." Or, do an open spot for me. And now it's like, can I see some of your stuff? We just need a couple of good clips. And they go, "There it is." Mm-hmm. Can we do your?
Yeah, I can't go. I can't go to London for free.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, you can't pop in and do an open. No.
I'm not necessarily going to hold out for breaking even. But I'm not going to go for free.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to get some of it back.
Of course.
You got to be able to line up a few things.
Yeah.
Now, buddy, since we always like to ask our comedians that we have on, because this job requires so much traveling and stuff, when you were a kid, did you travel a lot, out of Ohio?
No, we moved.
We moved constantly.
We didn't do much traveling.
Which that always kind of exercises the comedian muscles as well, because you had to meet new people all the time and just be a smart ass to get a new friendship going.
Did you move around Cincinnati?
We did do that, but we moved to Cincinnati when I was 12.
Okay.
So I was born in Inglewood.
Oh, you were born here?
Yeah.
Oh,
and then lived in maybe 6 different places in California. And the ones I remember, I know I was born in Inglewood. I know my brother was born in Granada Hills. Mm-hmm. So I assume that meant we lived in both of those places. The first thing I remember is Camarillo. Mm-hmm. Then we moved to Turlock and then Stockton. There's a couple other places that I've been told about. I think I lived in Hawthorne when I was a baby.
What were your parents doing to be moving?
My dad was a minister, and I don't know. I don't know why that meant.
But he was on the run constantly. Yeah. He's a minister with a secret life.
Spreading the word. Spreading the good word.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I have this other theory that's wild. But there is a non-zero chance he was a Zodiac killer.
Oh, man.
Because he moved to San Francisco in 68.
Right.
A few months before they started.
Oh.
He was a 28-year-old, very angry, loner, hyper-religious white man.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Fits the bill.
And the killing stopped a few months before he met my mom.
Oh, wow.
And then they got married, and then they started moving.
Whoa.
Never stayed in the same jurisdiction.
Wow.
This is amazing.
This
is a good theory to have when you're the kid growing up going, hey,
so it's non-zero. I don't really think he was, but it's not for sure that he wasn't.
Right.
but even it's actually in a good way, a good ending to this story, if he was, he killed all these people, but then he's like, and then he met your mom, and he's like, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm gonna go.
I mean,
which still puts the silver lining. She made him stop.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
No, it's not a good.
I mean,
I like what you're doing here, but they.
He's like, no, I'm not having it.
What psychologists would say is he found another outlet for his aggression.
Oh, okay.
Right.
He found a different.
I was doing the Disney
pitch. Different
group
of control. And also, everywhere we lived for about a year and then moved, and there aren't none unsolved murders.
Right.
So who even says he stopped?
Oh, yeah.
It just, the ones in San Francisco were all near each other, and they were connected by the letters. So there was a big, maybe what he learned was not to write letters.
Yeah.
maybe he just kept going.
Have you run this theory by anybody else?
No. But every time I say it, it feels a little bit more real. Because when you try to find the holes in it, you start to realize there aren't that many.
But there was never a thing when you're growing up and your dad gave you a look of your parents' girls just give you that look of don't do that. And until you get home, he never gave you a look of I'm
constantly. He was kind of a dick. He was mean and
oh, wow.
He was like, the level of anger he would show and express was in itself violent.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, so he never, like, he didn't seem, like, he was, he could be, he definitely had that in him.
Yeah.
Like, violence was
well,
in
but
him.
My mom and my grandma, I mean, my mom would, like, hit me when I was growing up. Not crazy, but, like, I could, one, I mean, I would say the same thing. I'm like, yeah, I could see how she could have killed me. That, right. I'm gonna kill you, you know, like,
yeah.
But you're saying was it's different. Your more was like,
if I did find out he killed somebody, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
Like, my here's like the biggest piece of evidence.
Guess we gotta move again.
It's not even evidence, but the biggest thing that supports it is I read this book.
I think it's supported by the fact that you can't actually think of another excuse or reason why we had to move all the time.
I did figure out that it seemed like he wrote 75 sermons.
Right.
And that was it. Because I started, by the time I got into like junior high, I was like, I've heard this one before.
Oh, so he just didn't have that much material.
Yeah, he didn't have enough material. He didn't want to keep writing.
Yeah, okay. So that could
So be. That's possible. But it also is a good cover.
Yeah, of course.
You get that job as a minister.
I mean,
yeah,
it's,
I guess
it,
we gotta
it,
move on because
it is the perfect cover to.
I read
be
this book about a. I read this book about a LAPD homicide detective, whose father was also in the LAPD and was a detective, and his father was obsessed with the Black Dahlia murders. The Black Dahlia murders.
Oh,
like
okay.
So, he was like a real new cop when that body was found, and he was one of the four cops they stationed on the corner of that field to keep looky-loos away that day they found the body and whatever. So he thought his father, that it was like a hobby case. Like these cops, when they leave, they take these cold cases or whatever, and they just spend the rest of their life obsessed with them. His father was obsessed with it. So when he retired, his father was dead. He was like, as a way to connect with my old man, I'm just going to start like investigating this case. And he eventually came to the conclusion that his father did it.
That was the murderer?
Yeah, that his father wasn't trying to solve the case. His father was keeping tabs on how close the cops were getting to him. And I read that and I was like, that's fucking wild. What, you know, what if I knew somebody? Like, and I just briefly entertained the idea.
Yeah.
Just solely because of this book.
Yeah.
And this is 10 years after I read all the Zodiac books.
Yeah.
And the Zodiac movie came out. Like, I saw that movie once. Because I had to kill a whole afternoon, so I just went to the theater and was like, what is the longest movie?
Yeah.
Right. And it was, so that's why I watched it. Then I read the books, and I was fascinated with the Zodiac thing.
Yeah.
10 years before I read this book. So it wasn't like a grudge against my dad where I'm trying to besmirch his name. I read this book where this guy figured out his dad was, and I was like, that's insane. I can't imagine thinking your dad was a killer. And then I thought for like one more jump was like, if it was, like, could he be? Like, what would it be? And then it was like, oh, my God, he was in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Like, all of this. He was in San Francisco for four years before he met my mom, when the murders were happening.
It all comes together.
Right. I don't know anybody that knew him then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need it. Like, his oldest friend
what
is
did he
from
do?
After that.
Was he still a minister when he was in San Francisco?
He went to San Francisco to go to seminary school.
Okay.
Or umpire school. He couldn't decide who he wanted to tell what to do.
Umpire?
And then he decided seminary school.
Wow.
That's funny.
And so then when that clicked, I was like, well, I should at least find out when he moved to San Francisco.
So I
called my mom. And I go, hey, when did Dad move to San Francisco? And she goes, why? And I go, I just said all that, but faster.
And she was like, it was after that night he came home with blood on his shirt, but I don't know.
Yeah, I go, I read this thing about this guy, and I just want to see.
Yeah.
And I was about the Dahlia thing, so I was like, did he live there when the Zodiac? And like, if you called and were like, I want to see if my dad was a Zodiac killer.
Yeah.
Your mom would just laugh at you.
Of course.
Yeah. And I said that, and my mom goes, okay, hang on a second, and set the phone down and went and asked him. Like, it didn't phase her for a second.
Wow.
She was just like, let's find out.
Wow.
Then she comes back and goes, 1968, does that fit? And I was like, fuck yeah.
Wow. So did you ever ask your dad, like, hey, man, did you? Or
no,
like...
he was dead by the time when I read this book. He had already died.
Okay. Wow.
He was alive when I read this book, but I never brought it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I kept thinking about it. And he also was like, he had like dementia a little bit, so he couldn't remember.
Oh, got it, got it. Yeah.
And I was just...
Or at least that's his cover up.
Right, maybe.
Yeah, I don't
remember.
Yeah. Wow, that...
He never accepted the diagnosis.
Holy shit, man.
So he would never say he didn't remember. He would just be mad at you for asking him something he couldn't remember.
Mm.
Holy shit.
Damn.
Well, buddy, man, this has been a real fun chat.
Did we solve the case?
We
have a great show for idea for a show for a movie. This is amazing. I would love to like. This That's is a great
we
idea for
we have right? comedians.
Serial season this, 4 is her talking to me about where my dad lives.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah,
you know, or like a movie about you know a son. Looking at everything, you know, it's great.
What if we find 100 more in every place I live?
Yeah.
I lived in Idaho, I lived in Washington, I lived in Illinois, and then Cincinnati. And then we moved around Cincinnati, but it was always a different jurisdiction.
Oh, man.
We never moved down the street
I
or around.
Yeah.
We would move 2 towns over almost every time.
Names for some reason. And
yeah. I don't even remember. This was just the one I graduated with. This is the one I had when I got a driver's license. So I kept it.
So I stopped at that.
Yeah. That's great.
Oh man! Well, buddy, I got a couple things I want to ask. First of all,
you know, you say you're doing shows in Brooklyn, August 13th and 14th.
Yeah, Union Hall.
So Union Hall. Where do people can find you if they want to go to see? I mean, follow you, but also for information for your shows.
JeffTateComedy.com is my website, and I'm at Jeff Tate on Instagram.
Okay.
And those are the two main places.
Awesome.
Right. There's Twitter, but. Don't even worry about it. I'm fucking sick of Twitter. I don't even go there.
Yeah,
collective.
I think Twitter's the same thing. It's kind of like I just have it now, but it's like
there seems to be a lot less politics and shit on Instagram.
Yes, exactly.
There's a lot more just here's what I had for dinner,
and, not and all of a sudden that's a better thing, much better.
It's much better.
Yeah. It's not as, that's true. It's like everything's
it's a
like,
more positive social media.
Exactly. You don't feel like every time I open Twitter, it's kind of like you're going to feel bad afterwards.
Yeah.
It's kind of like McDonald's. You ate it and you're like, I shouldn't have eaten that, you know.
Right.
It felt good in the moment, but
now I feel like trash.
Trash, yeah.
I fucking love McDonald's.
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't love it, but I always feel bad afterwards. I don't feel. I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have eaten that.
That's why you just eat it right before you go to bed.
Yeah, but then I wake up.
Then you're gonna feel shit at four in the morning.
That's what I'm saying. I wake up in the middle of the night. I was like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten.
Yeah.
Yeah, but every time I wake up at 4 in the morning, I feel like shit.
That's true.
It's not always McDonald's.
Buddy, we're gonna get out of here, but we like to ask our guests though. Are you superstitious? I want to know when you go on stage and stuff
or traveling.
Do you have certain like stage wear or something that you need with you on the road to?
Or do you bring sentimental values with you just in case something happens?
I mean, not necessarily. I don't know for sure if I do. I have a routine.
Okay.
Okay.
But if I can't do it, I'm fine.
It's not gonna fuck you up. Yeah. What is the routine, if you don't mind sharing it?
It's just the order I do things. I like to. The last thing I do before I go to the venue is take a shower.
Interesting.
Like that's it. Like everything else has to be done before.
Right.
Like I don't. I try to plan my day so I never have to shit at the club or whatever.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
So no McDonald's before the.
Yeah. No.
The shower.
Not before. I like to do the. I like to shower, dress, and then leave.
Got it.
Just it's like a confidence thing of like this is the cleanest. Right? Like I feel clean. Yeah, feel yeah, good, yeah. I feel fresh.
Right. Yeah.
And then I go.
Got it.
But that's it. Which means that sometimes on the road, depending on what I'm doing, I'll take 2 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sometimes I take one in the morning and then go have my day. But I always. That one doesn't count for the show.
Got it.
I see.
If I could do my routine. But if I'm busy, if we're going to the movie, if we're doing something or whatever, then whatever. It's just 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just 45 minutes or whatever. Like, I'll do... Because if it's a 2-show day, I do a lot less fucking around during the day.
So are you... So because that's the thing that... just quickly to... Because some comics are, from what we talked about, some comics, they like when they're on the road, they love doing shit during the whole day. And, like, for me, I'm the opposite. I'm, like, I like to kind of, like, be, like, you know, like you said, if I have like two shows, I'm headlining those shows. I don't want to do too much during the day that's going to mess me up for the shows. You know what I mean? Like kind of like either too tired or too whatever, like, you know.
I'll even try to take a nap if it's too short.
Yeah, yeah. So you're more like that. You're like kind of like taking, you know, like use it. I like a work thing, you know, like, cause, you know, yeah. Because some comics are like.
If there's stuff to do, if it's a fun town, I'll go check that stuff out. I'll spend a couple hours outside of my room.
That's what I mean. But nothing like crazy. Like I'm going to do a hiking for 8 hours and then do a show,
I like to have a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
Yourself.
I'm the same way. I do my thing. And like, I could take the shower, but then also like, when I'm taking the shower, I'm going over the sets, what I'm gonna do, getting ready, kind of pumped up a little bit to get to the.
But as I get older, I find that like, I want to do the post show things a lot less.
Right.
And so that means that if I am gonna do anything in whatever town I'm
gotta be before.
It's gotta be before.
Yeah, that is true.
So. I don't want to, like, I used to just go to the bars until they close and then sleep until 2.
Mm-hmm.
Then get some food.
Which I still do.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Oh, I can't. I do it sometimes.
Once in a while, but I can't do that. Yeah.
You got to shift it so it's not. Because that's still fun, but it definitely, we're getting ever closer to the day where that won't happen at all.
Yeah. Like, and then you can't function. Like, if you do that, then you're fucked. Then you can't do shows the next day.
Especially when the next day's a travel day. You know. God, this is going to suck.
I'm sure you've had it where you've done too much and then had to do. Like, I used to drink so much in Omaha that, like, Sunday, because the staff would want to go out, but they don't work every night. So the Thursday staff would want to go out. And the people who worked on Friday would want to go out. The people who went on Saturday would want to go out. That's 3 days in a row. And then I still got to do a Sunday where you're like, it's 8 o'clock at night. And I'm too hungover to stand up.
Yeah.
At night?
Yeah.
How am I?
What
did I do?
You got to mail in that performance.
Yeah, those are the ones where you go like, breathe in and fucking take everything so slow, and you're kind of like, you're not moving that much, just sitting, sitting down.
Put two stools up there, one for the drink and one for me.
Yeah.
I'm sitting down this one. This one's going to be really
important. Yeah, the sit down. I think that's why I think a lot of clubs start taking the Sunday out. I don't think that I don't see it that much. It's more like, it's more just.
They were the hangover shows?
Yeah, I think more like, unless like you do have like, you know, like you're selling out and they, you know, do it. But if not, I think, you know, they're like, you know what, fuck it. Cause it's like, it is a thing of like, you go so much, you do two shows on Saturday and now you got to do one on Sunday. It's kind of like, you're like, oh man.
Nobody wants to do it.
No. That's like the most annoying one.
Yeah, right. Do a Wednesday instead.
Exactly, like, exactly. Even, or do two Thursdays if you want, you know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Let us fly home on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's easier to fly on Sunday than Monday.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And also because Monday you got to kind of like, might have to do something that day when you get back to whatever, you know, back to LA. I got to go meet with somebody. It's like, fuck, no, I can't do that shit.
They're getting a little looser with their... They're a little bit more like, oh, if you can just do Thursday and Friday, we'll get somebody else to do Saturday and Sunday. Like, they are starting to figure out that they don't have to.
Yeah.
Because we did 50 years of Bud Freeman was like, we'll have a host in the middle.
Yeah.
And then for 50 years, every club was like, oh, we just do it like that. What do you mean?
Exactly.
Right. Why would we do it any different?
Like, yeah.
Because whoever said this was the best.
Yeah, who you can evolve, you know.
They did it three comics a night because when he started, there was six comics in New York. So, what are you doing? You could have a host and then have 2 12-minute sets.
Yeah.
And like build up your local scene and let them meet people or whatever. Yes. And then I pitched that to, like, I talked to a club about that. They just don't want to do it because it's work. I got to do a little fucking work. You're making a list, fucking list. You're just making a list. Yeah. But it's this business of full of people who wish and pretend that they're important.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But they're not.
Yeah.
99% of you are just making a list.
Making a list.
You're not deciding anything. You're making a fucking list.
That's funny. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, it's very true. Buddy, our last question for all of our guests on the way out the door is really straightforward. Do you have a favorite piece of travel advice that you like to give to people when you hear that they're...
Oh, yeah, this is pretty obvious, but I keep all the bin stuff in a separate bag. Like, I just have a...
What do you mean, the bin stuff?
Like, when you have all the stuff you got to put in the bin.
Oh,
like,
for security.
Like, yeah, like I have my tote bag. Yeah. And that's where I put my my iPad and my speaker and my laptop and my toothpaste and my fucking mouthwash and stuff. Like, I just put all of that into the tote bag, okay, so that right when I get there, I can dump all that into the bin, and I don't have to go through I don't have to open my backpack or anything. Like, it's all taken care of. There's no zippers when I get to the line.
Yeah.
I just dump all that in, and when I'm like I'll get to the airport like a normal person, but when I'm in line, I empty my pockets into that bag. Yeah. Like, when it's my turn,
you're ready to go. Yeah.
Right.
There's not a, oh, my watch. I forgot about my. No, it's all done. I am through.
And sometimes, which is, I'm the same way. And sometimes I get frustrated. I have to remember, because sometimes I get frustrated with people that don't do that, but then I have to remember, this might be the first time this person's traveling ever. They don't know.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm like, but sometimes I'm going like, come on, like, fucking, hey, like, now you're doing, now you're doing, like, you're seeing you're doing the line, and I'm I forgot that I gotta take out my thing, the water. I gotta drink the water.
Yeah,
you know, whatever I can just do. But sometimes I mean, that's my thing. Where I was like, I gotta remember, like, people.
Yeah, no, everybody's got the experience you do. Man.
Or in the plane when they're fucking looking for the seats and they're like, "Come on, 27, go to the back."
Why are you here? In the back?
Yeah.
Get your thing in the top. Get out of the aisle. Just get out of the aisle. I don't give a fuck what else you're doing. Get out of the aisle.
Yeah.
Why are you still
when
in
they're
the
when
aisle?
They're fucking when they're I hate when they're like coming in and they're in the aisle. Setting up their thing, it's like, wait till everybody fucking fills in and then do your shit, you know? Like, but don't, like, you see a line of people waiting, and these people are going, like, taking all their shit that they're gonna wear, and I'm like, move!
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
And I dumb my stuff
off. Have it a little bit planned.
Yeah.
I don't even wait till I get to my, sometimes I don't even wait till I get in my seat to dump my, I just see an open thing and be like, I'll just put this here.
That's true, yeah. I do. Yeah, you do it and then you pick it up later.
Right, you put it up there, everything that's in this one is these people's. If I'm back here, by the time I'm walking by, that my backpack gonna be the only one in there, and I'm gonna see it, and I'm gonna know it, and I'm gonna remember it, and I'm gonna get it and go.
Yeah, exactly. And then you don't, because the worst when you go back, and then you gotta go back, and you gotta wait until everybody gets out so you can go back.
Yeah, it's so much easier because the people that are coming behind me, they don't have to wait for me to get my bag because they're right there trying to pull their shit out, slowing everything down. I'm clear.
Yeah. Exactly.
We got it all figured out.
Yeah.
About getting on and off as fast as possible.
Exactly.
And sliding into that seat as fast as possible with your headphones or whatever you needed, ready to go.
But I have it all almost. Like, I have, I got this little bag right here with the charging cords in it.
There you go.
And so if I got to charge my phone, I'll clip my headphones to this, and then all my books are on my phone. Like, I just buy books on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't need anything.
Yeah. You're ready to go.
I got my music on my phone. I got books on my phone.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm just getting
you know what? I think you should. I would love to, you know, those videos that they put in the beginning of the flights to, like, you know, hey, they tell you all the instructions. Like, you should be one of those and just say, just be like, hey, motherfuckers, hurry up. This is the thing. I got my clips, you know, like, give me some money.
They should say that when everybody's waiting in the departure lounge, too. Like, we're going, we're queuing up. We got number 1 and 2. You can come to the queue. Those of you who aren't in the queue yet, organize your shit.
Yes.
The stuff they teach you is stuff you're going to do one time.
Yeah.
Because if you survive it, you're never going to fly again.
Yeah.
They don't teach you what you should do every time.
Exactly.
I've flown, I mean, I don't know how many flights I've taken. I've never put a mask on.
Yeah.
They tell me every time how to do it.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you, I do that once.
That's it. That's your last flight.
Yeah. I'm either dying on this flight or I'm going to survive it and never fly again.
Yeah. The whole, like, emergency door is like, I got it. Like, it says right there, I just got to push that shit. That's it. We don't need the whole
explanation. I got a bit about that because I always sit there and I 100% don't know how to open that door.
Yeah.
That door doesn't exist anywhere else.
Yeah.
And that's bullshit. That door, you should. The first time I'm going to ever open that door is that the stakes are going to be.
Yeah. And also, that's another thing, too, of, like, you open the door so you can let people out. Nobody's, I mean, you're going out first. I'm sorry. Like, I'm like, I'll open the door. But
and I'm taking my stuff.
Yeah.
I'm getting that's my backpack.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm going to be on the wing of the plane like, oh, I forgot. I thought,
Yeah. Oh, you meant even this bag? You meant everything. All right.
Just start throwing the shit out for them.
Right? I'll put it back on. You want me to go put it back?
Buddy, thank you very much for joining us, man.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Remember to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Instagram, Standby Podcast.
Yeah, and
Twitter,
look up Jeff's comedy.
And look up Jeff's says, And also remember to follow on iTunes to subscribe and to listen to the because we need more listens on the iTunes so we can climb up the charts. So
And rate it and review it because that helps too.
That's true. Exactly. Yeah. Listen to him. Bye, hello.
Cheers.